Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, and we are back with another episode here. This is actually going to be a special interim episode that we wanted to put out before the arrival of Hurricane Florence. We have a special segment that we're going to talk. Sam had a chance to talk with Dr. Joe Holly, who's been deployed with the FEMA assets. And she'll be relaying to us some of the things she and Joe talked about. And then we've got Becky DePodwin here to talk about the tropics in general and Florence in particular, and what we can expect from this one, because it looks like it could be pretty devastating in a couple of different ways. So before we get to that, let's go ahead and say hi to my co-host, Sam Bradley. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Jamie. Well, the weather's been a little bit weird here in Colorado. It's about 40 degrees between the day and the night and the usual afternoon storms, but that is nothing compared to what's going on out there. So, yes, I did talk to Dr. Joe. Unfortunately, we've had some Skype issues, so we lost that recording, but he is on his way as we speak with the USAR-IST, which is the incident command team, that they're putting their command system together and kind of getting an idea. As the storm comes in, they're going to be hunkering down. But then from there, they will have to figure out exactly where to spread their assets, which are also coming into North Carolina. He did mention that one of the concerns is there's a few hospitals that are right in the way of it that have chosen not to evacuate. So one of the things they're going to do is check with them, kind of see what their status is and what their backup plan may be, and see where they may be helpful in that. Some of the areas that are going to be hit are not getting hit for the first time. In fact, last year some of the same areas got hit. But it's Joe's belief that because of last year, they're much more prepared for what's to come. So I guess something good comes out of everything bad, or at least most things bad. So they are much more prepared. I've been getting seeing some other stuff coming up on text. There are some people in North Carolina who are saying that they're already opening shelters. So it looks like they're doing a lot of forward leaning for this storm. The big concern apparently is not even so much the storm, but the floods to follow, and I guess that's going to happen over the next few days, which, of course, Becky can expand on. But it's going to sound like Water Rescue Part 2 again this year. So I'm going to toss this over to Becky and let her tell us about what's going on. And that's not the only storm out there, right, Bex?
No, the tropics are active. In fact, yesterday was the statistical peak of hurricane season, and it's certainly living up to that hype. Obviously, we have Hurricane Florence, which is a Category 4 hurricane. We'll come back to that and spend most of the time discussing Florence. Out the closest to Africa, we have Hurricane Helene, which is a Category 2. Thankfully, Hurricane Helene is going to turn north and stay out to sea and not have any impact on the U.S. Isaac is a tropical storm at this point and is going to have fairly significant impacts on the Lesser Antilles and other Caribbean islands over the next several days. So that's definitely one to watch. It hasn't been getting a lot of attention just because the main story is Florence right now. There's also a tropical disturbance in the Gulf right off the Yucatan Peninsula. Right now sitting at a 50% chance of cyclone formation in 48 hours. If that does develop, would potentially have impacts on much of the Gulf Coast. So that's Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, could all potentially be in line for some very heavy rainfall, but still too early to tell exactly what that's going to do. Also, several storms in the Pacific. It's worth touching on Olivia, as that storm is actually about to make landfall or pass over the Hawaiian Islands as a tropical storm. It's not been getting a lot of attention, again, due to Florence, but were Florence not occurring, I think Olivia would be a much bigger deal, simply because the amount of rain that the storm is going to bring and the orographic influences of the Hawaiian Islands that are going to increase that rainfall and cause mudslides and potential devastation there. So that's the overview, and I think it's probably good to do now a deep dive into Hurricane Florence. As it is now Tuesday evening, I'm not sure when exactly this podcast will be going out, but at this point, landfall looks to be Thursday night. So overnight landfall Thursday night, somewhere right along the North Carolina coast, could be right near the state line of North Carolina, South Carolina, maybe just a bit north. Either way, that does put the Outer Banks in the northeastern quadrant of the storm, which is the most dangerous part of the storm. That will contain the most devastating winds, potential for tornadoes. So it's really not a good situation that is setting up for the Carolinas and the Outer Banks right now. Immediate impacts upon landfall and actually leading up to landfall already occurring now. Dangerous surf, strong rip currents, large offshore swells, not a good time to go surfing, beach erosion, coastal flooding, strong winds. And those impacts actually can be felt almost along the entire East Coast, from Florida all the way up through southern New England, just because of the size of the storm and just the fact that these impacts can really carry over water. So that's over the next several days. Once the storm does make landfall Thursday night, the main impacts are obviously going to be damaging winds. These could be wind speeds with gusts. So gusts at most maybe 110, 120 miles per hour, depending on what category the storm is when it makes landfall. Right now, it's progged to be a Category 3 storm, which would mean wind gusts upwards of 130 miles per hour at the top end. So that's going to be right along the immediate coast, and then spreading inland could be wind gusts up to 100, and then even as far inland as the mountains of western North Carolina, western Virginia could see winds 40 to maybe 75 miles per hour as the storm moves inland. So downed trees, definitely a concern. Isolated tornadoes, as I mentioned, as part of the northeast quadrant of the storm, but really anywhere where the storm is making landfall, hurricanes often spin up these very transient tornadoes, which means they're pretty difficult to see on radar until they're already occurring, and then they're gone. They're very quick moving, but can cause a lot of damage within the hurricane itself. And storm surge, I'm saving flooding for last because that's kind of the big topic here. Storm surge is also going to be the other really dangerous aspect of this storm.
Well, I was just thinking of something that Kyle was talking about this time last year, and don't think because the storm is mostly hitting the coast that inland is not going to be affected. Last year, if I recall correctly, a lot of the inland was affected as the storms continued to go up, if nothing else, with a lot of rainfall. Are you assuming that to be the case with this storm?
Yes, absolutely. So with Florence, and this is becoming a greater concern the closer we get and the more agreement the models have, is that it looks like there's going to be a stall with this storm, either a stall or it sort of spins in place or in a very small region for maybe 2-3 days. That's not totally clear right now, but if that's the case, the storm is going to unleash an immense amount of water over North Carolina, Virginia, parts of West Virginia, eastern parts of Kentucky and Tennessee, as well as South Carolina. I mean, we're looking at storm totals 40 inches or greater, but the problem with that is that it's going to be exacerbated by the terrain. So you're going to have that orographic lift. You're going to have mudslides, washouts, road closures. Not to mention many of these locations, this is the wettest summer on record. So you're adding, these rivers are already high, they're already running high, and you're going to add 30, 40 more inches of rain on top of that. It's going to be major river flooding, which is going to cause a lot of issues in this region.
Wow, Jamie.
It wouldn't surprise me if we...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just adding...
It wouldn't surprise
Jamie,
me if we see...
Go ahead, Becky.
Yeah, go ahead.
It wouldn't surprise me if we see catastrophic flooding from this. Like this has the potential to be very, very dangerous if people have not taken precautions and understand their flood risk, and if they are in a zone that could be flooded or prone to flash flooding.
Yeah, I would imagine that this is going to be I'm more concerned with the inland flooding as you are, especially in the mountainous regions of Western Virginia, Western North Carolina, where those slopes are going to exacerbate all that rain and really funnel it into the valleys where people are typically have their towns situated. They aren't building on the side of the mountains. They're building down in the valleys. And I think that we're going to see some
right.
record flooding in those regions. And people should heed the warnings of their emergency managers, definitely.
Well, Jamie, is there a chance are you getting any of this in your area?
And right now, it looks like I was just looking at the track, and it looks like it kind of, they're expecting it to turn more westerly than northwesterly. So until it comes back up to coast, it looks like I'll get some rain, I think, here in Maryland. But where I am north of Baltimore, I think we might get a couple inches of rain. But what I'm more concerned about, and this is something that they've talked a lot about in this region, is, as Becky said, this is the wettest summer on record in Baltimore.
Wow.
And the ground is really super saturated. And I'm concerned that any kind of wind, even low-level wind gusts, are going to take trees out that wouldn't ordinarily be at risk for falling. So I think we're going to see, and I would expect it's going to be even worse throughout the storm impact area. Becky may be able to talk about that as well, but I can imagine that we're going to see a lot more power outages farther out from the storm center simply because of the fact that the ground's so saturated, the trees' roots are probably not going to be able to hold as well versus storm gusts. Would you agree, Becky?
I think so. I mean, the ground is pretty saturated. Thankfully, it hasn't been too wet in the past, like, week or so in the Carolinas, but even still, the amount of rain that's fallen this summer in general, I think is just going to add to the overall devastation in that region.
What about mudslides and that kind of thing? I imagine that's next.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mudslides, washouts, definitely going to be a huge concern. Those could block roads, potentially hindering any type of first response or rescues. So that's going to be a concern. There's just a lot to consider here.
So there's a couple days that they have to prepare until Thursday night. What are the best, and Jamie, you throw your two cents in too, what are the best preparedness tips? Should they just evacuate out of any low-lying areas? If they have trees around their house, should they find another place to go? What do you think?
I think first and foremost, they should listen to the local authorities. If they're not being told to evacuate, that's probably a good thing, but I think they should still take personal responsibility and try and assess their risk. They can also talk to the local EM and make sure that they're not at risk. I wouldn't evacuate unnecessarily because there's already a vast number of people that are evacuating from the coast because of mandatory evacuations. And you don't want to evacuate unnecessarily and cause overcrowding and shelter. So that's a concern. But it's really just, it's about knowing your risk, making sure you have the proper insurance in place should something happen. So talking to your insurance provider, making sure you have flood insurance, although it does take 30 days to go into effect, so it's a little late at this point. But just making sure that you're safeguarded from a physical safety standpoint as well as a financial standpoint.
And if they do tell you to evacuate, there's probably a really good reason. What are your thoughts, Jamie?
Well, I agree, and I think that we need to listen to the emergency managers in each region. And I think Becky made a good point. If you think you're in an area, even if there hasn't been an evacuation order for your region, and you're concerned about the location of your home or apartment building or whatever the case may be, because of its proximity to a stream or a river or whatever, don't be afraid to reach out to your emergency managers and ask, look, this is where I live. This is my address. What is my risk here? Because I feel like I'm in a more low-lying area than the rest of the town or the region or whatever. And they'll be honest with you. They know, they have flood maps, believe me. They know what areas flood and don't flood historically. And maybe you're new to the area and aren't aware of that. So don't be afraid to ask those kinds of questions and take personal responsibility. But at the very least, listen to evacuation orders. Even if they aren't mandatory, if you can get out and they ask you to get out, take the opportunity and leave when you can, because things are going to get bottlenecked very quickly late as the closer we get to the storm, as more and more people start saying, well, maybe I should get out. I know people are evacuating. We have friends and we're in contact with that have kids in college in that region. And the colleges have all shut down and evacuated near the coast. And so their kids are evacuating back up here to Maryland. They're evacuating down to Florida. They're evacuating west to Nashville. They're trying to put a significant amount of distance between themselves and this storm, which I think is a good idea.
Well, and it's good to do it early. You know, you don't want to wait till the last minute when everybody else is waiting till the last minute and say, oh, you know what, maybe we should leave. And now you've got this massive traffic jam.
And I would also ask Becky to kind of chime in about the duration of this storm, because one of the things they've talked about is how it's going to park for a certain period of time, which is, of course, what Harvey did over Houston, which caused all the extra rainfall accumulation there. And while we may not see, you know, 40, 50 inches of rain, we're going to see a significant amount in certain areas. And, you know, what's the duration to expect? I mean, if you do evacuate, how long do you think people are going to have to stay away before it's safe to come back if this storm is planning to stick around for days?
Yeah, that's a tough question to answer. As far as the duration of wind and rain, we're honestly looking at a couple of days given the best guidance right now. So a landfall Thursday night, and then it kind of just stalled out and does a little bit of a loop right around south of the Outer Banks. At this point, probably all day Friday, even into Saturday, these regions could be experiencing probably tropical storm conditions once the storm makes landfall and weakens a little bit. So it's a much longer duration than most hurricanes, which generally move inland, weaken, and then get caught up in the pattern, like we saw with Gordon earlier this month. But Florence doesn't look like it wants to do that. It wants to sit and spin for what could be 2-3 days. So from that perspective, it's going to cause a considerable amount more damage. And because of that, it could be an extended period of time before people are allowed to return home. So there's just a lot going on here, and it's not just when does the storm end and people get to immediately return home. It's also that, you know, the condition of roads needs to be assessed and probably cleared out because of rain and flooding and debris. So unfortunately, it really looks like this could be one of those situations where people are displaced for quite some time, which is never an easy thing to hear, unfortunately.
Well, and that tells me that our DMATs, I know there are some already staging, because that's what we do when people are displaced and they need medical care. So I kind of see that coming down the road. One thing, if Kyle was here, he would be talking about a lot of the social media sites where you can get accurate information. And I know AccuWeather has an app. What are some of the other good places they can go for up-to-date information, Becky?
Yeah, so AccuWeather is a great place for alerts from the National Weather Service, as well as graphics. We have a great tropical storm part to our maps, which I actually helped develop. Other good apps, one of the ones that I'm pushing right now is actually the Red Cross Hurricane app. I was just taking a look at it. It has alerts. It has a map layer that has the storm track. It has all of the shelters that are currently open in that area that you can look at. It has quizzes, ways for you to be prepared. And it also has a toolkit for after the storm that includes a flashlight, an alarm. Should you, God forbid, be trapped, you can sound this alarm from your phone and have that be an audible sound for rescuers. You can also send out an all clear to friends and family that you've entered in beforehand to say, I'm safe. So I think the Red Cross app is a great place to start, or just to have handy when you're evacuating or if you're staying in place. FEMA also has a great app that has alerts, resources. You can share disaster photos that will help first responders apply for assistance online. It also has the shelter map, just a lot of resources between those two apps. So those are the ones that I would recommend, is the FEMA app and the Red Cross Hurricane app.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard that the Red Cross app has all of that. But all of that is good stuff. What do you think, Jamie? Any other ideas on that?
Well, I just think, you know, again, we've talked about preparedness before on the show, and it comes down to you still have time to put that disaster preparedness kit together, that evacuation kit. Make sure you still have time to go and get any prescriptions filled, that you might need meds while you're being evacuated. All those things can still get done tomorrow on Wednesday before you get out of town, or make arrangements. If you get your meds through a national drugstore chain, talk to your local branch and see if you can have your prescriptions forwarded, or are they in the system that you can pick up at another branch on two states away. If that's the case, then you can fill your prescriptions when you get to where you're going. But all these things are important things to keep in mind, especially as Becky said, it may be an extended time frame of evacuation before people are allowed back in or even able to get back in safely to their homes again. So I just, you know, the disaster preparedness kit, you can go to ready.gov and find out exactly what you should have in that kit, and just follow your instructions.
And pack your car now. Pack it up, put fuel in it. Don't wait, you know, make sure you're full of gas, because you never know if you may have to move out quickly. And like Jamie said, if you may be gone for several days to a week, plan for that. Bring clothing, bring extra eyeglasses. I mean, there's a thousand things that you should think about now and not when you're ready to leave. Go ahead, Bex.
Just adding one more thing. Do not forget about your pets. They are part of your family.
Yes.
They need to go with you if you evacuate. They need to be a part of your plan. They should also have a go bag with their food and treats, all of that. You took this pet into your home, and they're part of your family, and they should be a part of your emergency procedure plan.
And that's a lesson that was learned after Katrina and other events. There are pet-friendly evacuation centers. You should be able to find a place. If you just ask about it, they should be able to direct you to a pet friendly evacuation center for you and your pet.
Yeah, that would be a no brainer for me. I don't go anywhere without my dogs, but I guess in the worst case scenario, people don't think about that. Another thing too is, and this should seem obvious, but it isn't, because it happens every year. Don't drive through floodwaters. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think so. And so, you know, any final thoughts, Becky, before we close down? Is this is you know this wasn't this is a special episode we're going to put out tomorrow morning, so this will be coming out Wednesday morning. You know, people should just kind of keep track of the storm, be aware, and keep in touch with their local emergency systems. Correct?
Yeah, and just know what the right sources are for weather information. Find trustworthy, responsible sources that are putting out information that is not hype, that's not exaggerated, but that it's factual and informative. You want to make the most informed decision possible. So just make sure the place that you're getting the information from is truly a trustworthy and reliable source.
And I know you're going to be busier there than a one-armed paper hanger for the next few days, but to the extent that we can get good information, we'll throw it out to the community, and maybe those in those areas can also let us know what's going on from their own experience. So we'll keep that line of communication open also.
Yeah, definitely. I think it would be important for people in the community to, even share. I mean, if they're able to and do so safely, share photos or even a short video of what their experience is with the storm, with their evacuations, with whatever, so that we can learn from this as a community. So do that over at the Facebook group. Just search for Disaster Podcast if you aren't already part of the group, and join up over there. And, let us know what's going on, even if it's just leave a comment on some of the posts over there or on the post for this episode. We'd love to hear from you and be able to chat back with you about what your experiences are and what you're seeing. A lot of you are already deployed or responders yourselves. So there's probably a lot going on in your communities trying to get prepared for all of this.
Well, and Joe made the comment that a lot of them have contacted him already. Okay, where are you? What are you doing? So, you know, they're kind of hungry for that field information like we had last year. So we're going to keep in touch with him. And if I go out, you know, we'll do man in the street interviews and give you as much information as we can, as often as we can.
And Dr. Ben Abo left a message on our Facebook group as well, that it looks like he's getting deployed from Florida. So if he's deployed, he already made a comment that he would try to get a hold of us and maybe come up for a call at some point. So we will do as we did last year with the hurricanes. If we're able to get an extra episode in, maybe Monday or Tuesday next week, to kind of follow up with what's going on, we'll do that. And if whoever's available from our call here, like Becky or Sam or myself, whoever was available, we'll get on that call with whoever's in the field, and we'll bring them in to talk about what the response has been like, what to expect moving forward, and try to get you guys as much up-to-date information as possible.
And, we may be recording at odd times and throwing things up at odd times, as we did last year, just to keep you guys in the loop as much as possible. So keep an eye on that.
Okay, Sam, I think we can kind of wrap this up. Just a quick shout out to Paragon Medical Education Group for making themselves available to support the show and sponsor the program. Make sure you check out their resources for training and education for disaster response of all types over at paragonmedicalgroup.com. You can also find them on Twitter at ParagonMedEDU, and they are always available and responsive over on our disaster Facebook group. So please, Disaster Podcast Facebook group, check them out over there. Becky, where can folks find you if they want to see what you're tweeting out or putting out over on your channels?
So I'm tweeting on Twitter at WX_Bex. I made a list, which is super helpful, of all the great people that are discussing Florence right now. So go to my profile page, look at the list called Tropical Twitter, and there's just a plethora of really, really important information that's being discussed over there right now.
Excellent.
Sam, how about you?
Well, I will be more on social media than usual, under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11. I'm always looking for Becky's tweets because there's always good stuff that she's putting up. That's about it. What about you, Jamie?
Well, people can find me under the handle PodMedic in most social media locations out there. So please friend or follow me in that fashion, whatever the case may be. And always over at disasterpodcast.com, where you can find information on how to subscribe to the show on whatever mobile device or device you plan on using, whether it's email or via an app you like to use on Android or iOS devices. We have ways to subscribe easily over there with the click of a button. So please check it out at disasterpodcast.com, and always check back in on our Facebook group over on Facebook with the Disaster Podcast Group. There's a lot going on, and it's going to be a lot happening. Keep in touch. We'll try to bring you updates from the field as we get them. And I'm sure following Becky's list of Twitter folks that she recommends will be a good resource, as well as her own individual Twitter feed. But I want to thank you, Becky, for being available to come on tonight. I bet Kyle's just dying, right?
I thought about that. You know he is.
Yeah, what a time to miss. Man, there's so much going on, so much weather to discuss.
We should do one during the day, Jamie, so we can get him back, because
we might end up doing one during the day, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I just was thinking about that today, although we're always happy to have Becky on the call, but poor Kyle, he had to pick this month to work nights, so.
I don't think he picked it the height of hurricane season, but you do what you got to do, right?
Yep. All right, folks. Well, Sam, there's a lot going on, a lot of people at risk, and a lot of disaster medicine on the horizon.
You bet. But instead of the normal tagline tonight, I just want to say be prepared, be safe, communicate, and we'll be talking to you very soon.